This is News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Now more with Deb Hutton.
I'm not Deb Hutton. Deb Hutton doesn't host this show. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. We're listening to a little bit of Jeff Beck. At age 78, he passed away today, the legendary guitar player. A little bit later on in the show, Eric Alper, music expert, will be here to contextualize just how towering a figure in modern music Jeff Beck is and was. First, though, I'm going to bring in Carmi Levy, News Talk 1010 technology expert, and the guy that I turn to when I don't understand what's happening in the world of technology. And Carmi, I have to tell you that I've talked to you more than I've talked to my wife probably in the last month or so. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Good to hear your voice too. I'm happy to speak to your wife if she's concerned that maybe we're carrying on a little bit too much, to set her mind at ease. I'm there for you, Richard.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I may take you up on that. lots of technology stories to talk about. Air travel across U.S. states was thrown into chaos after a computer outage, and this is as you've written in the notes that you were so kind to send over, every IT practitioner's worst nightmare. Not only that, but for anyone who was trying to fly to the United States today, I would imagine also just a headache and a half.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is interesting. It was a computer systems failure that happens in the U.S. on a Federal Aviation Administration piece of infrastructure. There was a corrupt file on the system that pilots use to basically call ahead, find out what's going on at the airport that I'm flying to. Is one of the runways closed? Is there a light burned out? Do I need to change my approach? What do I need to know? Is the weather bad? And it's called NOTAM, and it stands for Notice to Air Missions, or it used to be known as Notice to Airmen, but of course that's no longer acceptable.
Yeah.
And basically what it is before you take off, you have to find out through this NOTAM system what's going on at your destination airport. If you don't do that, you're not flying that day. So NOTAM is really critical. It's got to work, otherwise flights aren't allowed to leave. And so what happened was this system had a corrupt file, and they knew they had a corrupt file, and so they were like, okay, how do we fix this? Well, we can restore the backup. Nope, the backup also has a corrupt file. And so they said, okay, we're going to have to bring it down. We're going to have to reboot it, which of course we all know what that's like.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is based on super old technology. We're talking like mainframe technology, decades old. It's held together with duct tape and twist ties. This is like, and I say this having been an IT practitioner, this was the kind of stuff that scared me. I'd walk into a room and the dust would just go poof because it was that old. So this system was super old, and it took on a good day at least 90 minutes for this thing to reboot. So think of that, 90 minutes the system isn't available. So they figured, we're going to do it at night when there aren't a lot of flights, because, and we're going to tell the pilots, don't use this messaging system. Instead, do what we used to do. Just call the airport. Right. We have a backup system for that. Well, that sort of worked overnight. But in the morning, as more flights started to take to the air, the system just crashed. It couldn't keep up. It did not scale. So the FAA said, well, we can't do this anymore. They issued what's called a ground stop. And so essentially, no flights were going anywhere in the U.S. And they were telling people outside of the U.S. that if they were flying into the U.S., that wasn't happening. So this very quickly became a global problem. It's hard to underestimate or underscore just how significant a failure this was. And after a few hours, they figured it out. They sort of caught up, and it'll probably take a few days for them to catch up because so many flights were canceled. But this really does show, like, when you fail, it's like when you have an old computer and you fail to update it because, oh, it still works, that's fine. And, you know, you reboot it every once in a while and it works again until it doesn't. And the FAA, like most government agencies, and this applies in Canada too, they have not been spending enough on their systems. And this is what happens when stuff fails. And they're going to be studying this. Pete Buttigieg, who's the transportation czar in the U.S., he's calling for people's heads. He's saying, we've got to assess what happened. We've got to figure out how to make sure this doesn't happen again. And we're going to be studying this. I would expect Canadian aviation experts are going to study it too, because we use similar NOTAM systems. And we're also ripe for a failure. And if we don't get ahead of this, newer systems, newer technology that doesn't fail in that way, guess what? This is going to keep happening again until someone says, well, enough.
You would also hope that if anyone is updating their computers, you know, in a regular way. It's the people that are in charge of keeping you in the air. This story kind of blew my mind that that's the situation that it was. Everything old is new again. The hottest Gen Z gadget is a 20-year-old digital camera. So a lot of influencers online are all of a sudden switching back to these old cameras that we probably all had in the 90s and thought were so cool. And look how great the picture quality is, except it wasn't that great. But maybe that's the point, right? You're not seeing every pore and every blemish on everyone's face.
I think that's exactly the point. You know, they didn't have as many megapixels as today's cameras. You know, like my smartphone can easily outshoot the digital SLR that I had 15 years mm-hmm. ago. And certainly the Kodak EasyShare that I thought was the coolest thing. It was my first ever digital camera in the early aughts. And I remember buying it thinking, this is like a great, to this day, I love that camera. Why? Not because it was great, but because I loved fiddling with it. Because I liked, it was almost like an analog experience. It was made of plastic. It was, you know, kind of chintzy looking and mm-hmm. feeling, and the pictures were kind of meh, but it was photography at its most elemental. And I say that as, in my spare time, I'm a photographer. I play with cameras just for fun. And I've got a really great DSLR. I put a lot of money into it, but honestly, the most fun I've ever had with photography was with an old camera. And the cool thing is you're seeing people starting to pick it up, and like Gen Zs, like teens, early 20s, kids who never even had these cameras. Their parents used them 20, 25 years ago. They're picking them up and saying, you know what? It's a different experience. The pictures mean something. They right. stand out from all the photos that I take with a smartphone. When I look at my photo roll from my smartphone, it doesn't move me. But when I see a picture like this with lousy resolution, blown out highlights and all that, I remember the moment. And that's what photography is. It's not about a perfect picture. Yeah. It's about remembering the experience of shooting it. And I read this article, and it was based on an article in the New York Times, and they've been kind of focusing on retro tech, which I love. And the first thing I did was reach into my old camera bag and pull out some of my old cameras, and I'm charging them up as we speak. I'm going shooting over the next few days.
I love that. So Elon Musk drove about 1 million people, maybe more, over to Mastodon, but they're not sticking around. And I mean, I can't imagine that that was his plan all along, but maybe it was. Maybe he knew what would happen. You know, this will be crappy at Twitter for a little while. People will leave, but they'll come back. Do you think that's part mm-hmm. of it?
I think that's certainly part of it. And we've seen this before. You know, Richard, I think you and I have spoken in the past about when Facebook makes a major change mm-hmm. to their interface, everyone complains. That's it. I'm leaving Facebook. I'm tired of this. I'm done.
Yep.
And then a week later, you kind of look at their feed and you realize, hey, they're still sharing.
There's more pictures of their cats. Yeah.
So I think that's what's happening here is people, they're like, okay, Twitter's a dumpster fire. I'm going to leave. I don't want to be there anymore. Elon Musk is making me sick. And then they go to Mastodon. And I did the same thing. I signed up for it. I set up my account, and then crickets. Like, then I looked mm-hmm. around and I'm like, I don't really know anybody here. And so I found a few people, but then I sent them messages and they never answered me because they're not on it all day, every day, like they are on right. Twitter. And I think that's the problem. The network hasn't moved over. So you got the app. That's great. But it's not as much fun when all, you know, all your friends are still over at Twitter. So it's going to take a lot more than just a few weeks of you know, lots of downloads for Mastodon to succeed. And the numbers are pretty troubling. Their regular user numbers are actually dropped the first week of January, and that is accelerating as we get into the middle of the month. So Mastodon, it burned big, and I said it at the time, it's not going to last long, and the data shows it clearly hasn't.
There are several Canadian MPPs, and we've got less than a minute, that are saying, I love TikTok because it reaches a younger audience that Twitter and Facebook doesn't. Give them your 20 seconds on why they shouldn't have it on their phone.
It is owned by a Chinese company, and we know that Chinese companies make deals with the Communist Party of China. But if they're asked to share data, they must. So if you like having all of your data sucked up from your phone and shared with the Chinese government, go ahead and use TikTok. If that's what it takes to share videos of you dancing and your cat, go ahead. Recognize at the back end, they are hoovering every last piece of data from your phone. We know that TikTok is a huge security risk. The U.S. House of Representatives has already banned it, and they're pushing for a national ban in the U.S. now.
That's our time, Carmi Levy. Say hi to my wife when you're talking to her. That was Carmi Levy, our News Talk 1010 technology expert. Stay with me. Eric Alper is next.